Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Well, 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 Bears 25, the Seahawks 24, it's win number 5 on the year. Nick Foles, Joe Montana, Patrick Mahomes, the Bears D, Damir Bird with one of the greatest catches in Bears history, Matt Nagy going for 2, putting it all on the line, there is no tomorrow. Give him an extension, OB. Oh my God! Hold on, just 1 second. We got to sing it. This is a moment in time. Here we go. Let's sing. Bear down, baby. Go ahead, OB.
I just want to tell you, congratulations to the Bears and to the players. I'll tell you what. You know, when it comes to this situation, a lot of guys, folks, believe me, they lay down. The 100% truly isn't there. But I'll tell you what I saw. I don't think I saw one of them really give up today. And Mark asked me at the beginning of our pregame show what I thought of Nick Foles starting. And I said, well, obviously Fields went out with an ankle, so he's out. Dalton, he goes out with a groin injury. So who do we have? We have Foles. He's 6'6". He's played in this league. He's won a lot of games. He's won a Super Bowl, and he was the MVP of the Super Bowl. Need you say any more? He's got to be the best, supposedly, quote-unquote, third-string quarterback in the National Football League. But I'll tell you what, Nick Foles, with his play today, being cool, calm, and collective, and hitting the receivers, and Montgomery running, and the defense coming up to play hard, damn it, congratulations to the Chicago Bear players. My God, what an effort they put in today. And hopefully, and also, what you saw in the games today. We've got 2 more games left. So far in 15 games, that's the best quarterback play by 100 miles, period, from Dalton and from Fields. Foles stepped up to the plate and played like he has played and he can play. So, again, congratulations to Nick Foles. He did one hell of a job. Congratulations, Bears.
Amen. And you know what? Well said, Mr. Obradovich. I will tell you this. The old saying, yes, Virginia, there is a Christmas. This was a day late for most people. But what a great gift for the Chicago Bears. And you know what? Congratulations to Mr. Foles. You know, we've always liked him. Obviously, he was the odd man out all year long. And you got to say congratulations to Nagy. Nagy outcoached Pete Carroll. And Pete Carroll's won a Super Bowl. So in a kind of a blaze of glory as he goes out the door, Matt Nagy has something he can hang his hat on as far as wherever he's going to be, working in the future. All that being said, Our defense for the last 2 weeks have played the best they have played in a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And I'm telling you, they are doing it. I don't know if it's mirrors, but my goodness, they are getting contributions from guys you never even would have thought of in September or October.
Well, those kids are playing for their lives, Dan.
Yeah, they are.
And you know what? The backups, and guess what? They're making that happen.
Bravo.
They're making it happen. Yep. But what really made it happen today, you can give it to the defense. You can give it to whoever and wherever and whatever you want. I'm telling you, that was the best quarterback play I've seen. I couldn't even tell you how long. And for damn sure this year, Nick Foles, 6'6", won a lot of games, MVP, won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. I'll tell you what. Quality player, and the kid has been cool, calm, and collective all year, being the backup, And guess what? He comes up. We go up to Seattle, tough place to win. And guess what? We finally get our fifth victory. And we can say it all. It is, if we don't have Nick Foles out there today, we don't win this game.
But, you know, on the same hand, you can say, okay, there were so many things, you know, moving targets this year. Okay, you got Justin Fields. You got to try to get him in. And Nagy's trying to save his job.
Dan, Justin Fields and Dalton have not played as well
Nick
Foles played today. Not even close.
Okay, but my point is, the big picture is you try to win games. You try to win. Now, is this going to be a giant step back? Because after the way he played today, who are you going to start next week against the miserable New York Giants? Who are you going to start against the Vikings in the closer? I'm just saying. I mean, I hate to say it, but the old maxim, where's this been all year? You know, it's week 16, and finally, we get great play at the quarterback position, and it lifts all parts of the team, positions on the offense. Everyone played a great football game today.
Well, I'll tell you what, the kid has been a proven quality. I'm talking about Nick Foles. Year after year, previous years, he's been a proven quality. The guy can win. And when Mark asked that question when we started the pregame show, again, you know, so Fields is out, and so Dalton's out. Big deal. We've got a hell of a quarterback coming in here, and let's see what he can do. And guess what, folks? For four quarters, he stood in there, and he made things happen. He was the spine. He was the leader of our victory today. Make no mistake about that.
312-981-7200. In the pregame show today, I had Obi and Hamp do the lesson of announcing that Nick Foles is going to be the quarterback for the Bears today, because when Matt Nagy did it this week, it was a four-minute soliloquy, and we learned all about Andy Dalton's family, which I thought was fascinating.
He talked about his parking spot and everything else. He said, oh, yeah, and Foles will start. It was such a sign of disrespect. My goodness.
I really do wonder, and it's out there. Ian Rappaport has talked about it, and it's been talked about ad nauseum. When are they going to get rid of Matt Nagy? Was that his final foray today? Was his final real decision going for two on his way out of town? Are they going
based on the new rules of looking for a head coach?
Yep. I mean, that's.
But think about 5 minutes earlier on fourth and, you know, what was it? One from his own 44 or five. I can't remember where it was. And we didn't get it. And we turned the ball over on downs. And that's, you know, I'm thinking to myself, that's Nagy's, you know, going out the door in a blaze of infamy. And Nick Foles takes him and rescues him from the cliff and brings him back and gives him a chance to go out with this win.
Thoroughly impressed with Nick Foles, believe me. Boy, the way he handled that play today for four quarters under pressure, playing up in a tough place again to win, what a job he did.
All right, quick timeout. Kaz will be with us at 7. Your calls are welcome, 312-981-7200. If anything comes out of the Bears locker room as far as Nagy's concerned, obviously we'll have it. But, hey, let's have a celebration here. Bears 25, Seahawks 24, baby.
Everything's been positive, what we're saying here.
I know you were, OB. I'd love to hear if the people are sitting home a day after Christmas just having a little vino here thinking whatever. Hey, Bears win. I mean, we were sitting there stunned. It was like, can we believe this just happened? Everybody was stunned. I think all of Chicago / Illinois / Bears fans like fell off their chair at the end of the football game.
If you would have came from Mars and watched the Bears defense the last 2 weeks, you would have thought they're a top five defense.
Yeah, right?
I mean, against Minnesota on Monday night, and then, you know what, 5-6 days later, boom, they go out and they play their butts off.
They get the holding penalty that knocks Seattle back to the 41. I'm sitting there still praying on the under. That doesn't happen. But then I was almost kidding when I said to Obi, all right, Obi, because you were talking about Foles the whole game. I'm like, all right, Obi, here's his chance to go do it. I didn't think he was going to do it. He went down and did it. Good for him.
And went for two and made the throw to Bird in the back of the end zone. I'm telling you, it completely changes a lot of the perspective on this football
team.
Well,
you know, don't forget, guys, too, you know, you got to look at the records and where everybody is. Okay, Seattle Seahawks have won five games so far.
Yeah, so okay.
That's the dose of
reality. I'll tell you what, the bookies took it in the shorts today.
We're tied with Seattle, baby. Five wins for the Bears, Five wins for the Seahawks.
So let's not go crazy here.
Tied for five. All right, quick timeout with your calls coming back. 720 WGN.
End zone. And this time it is caught by guess who? Jimmy Graham, the former Seahawk, with the touchdown grab with just a minute to play.
He wasn't in the game when they were down to the goal line back in the first quarter, but there he was when they needed him, I guess, in the fourth. Jimmy Graham biting the hand that once fed him, Dan Hampton. Bears 25, Seahawks 24.
And you know what? OB said it as soon as he threw it. He said, what a perfect pass. I mean, it was absolutely perfect where he could out-jump the little DBs. I mean, that's why he was here.
Nick Foles put it right on the money. Wow.
So it does just underline the ridiculousness that is Ryan Pace. You had Nick Foles, who is Andy Dalton, and if you want to argue that he's a better version of Andy Dalton, no problem. I'm not arguing that at all. You had him. You really had to go out after trying to trade, by the way, for Russell Wilson. Reportedly, Brad Biggs with the piece today, they offered three first-round draft picks, doing everything they could to get a middle 30s quarterback in Russell Wilson, who's clearly trending the wrong way. And then after a miracle, in my mind, that they said no, you had to run out and get Andy Dalton. When you have Foles is under contract for next year, there was a million quarterbacks that were still out there. You could have traded for Gardner Minshew. You could have gotten Sam Darnold, but they just had to have Andy Dalton and pay $10 million for him. It made 0.0 sense.
You know what? When you think about this season up until now with two games to go, okay, and we're talking Justin Fields. He's the franchise quarterback. Well, folks, coming into this game this coming week against the Giants here at home, our last home game, he is – 2 wins and 8 losses, okay? In our passing game, he ranks near the bottom, if not dead last, in almost every category. So if we want to talk and guesstimate and think around and toss things around a little bit, when Andy Dalton got hurt and this kid's playing half hurt with his ankle or whatever, why didn't they play Nick Foles? Why didn't they take a look at Nick Foles basically halfway, 3/4 of the way through the season? Why didn't they take a look at him? Our supposedly future quarterback, again, 2 wins and 8 losses so far this year. Basically dead last. Why didn't we? Why not? We're losing. We're getting kicked out of our fanny every week. Why not make the change? Why not shake it up? Why not put Nick Foles in there? Why? Because he's done it before. He's won before. He's won a Super Bowl, and he was the MVP of the Super Bowl. So when you're getting your butt side and you're on the short side when the game is over with every time points-wise, why not make a change? You saw what happened today. My God, the kid played terrific. It was the best, again, the best quarterback by a ton of any quarterback we've had so far this year.
312-981-7200. I wanted to see Fields. I think most people did. However, you could along OB's line of just what's your best option of winning that day.
Isn't that what this game is about? Winning the damn football game? There's only 17 of them?
Well, there's that, and there's, hey, man, chances are you're going to have a whole new coaching staff here, so maybe it was actually in Justin Fields' best interest to not play this year. And let a veteran do it while he's learning. That might have been a better play.
I've got a number of answers, I think, but let's get to the calls.
All right, let's go with Todd in Plainfield. Welcome to WGN, Todd. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, Dan, OB, Mark. First of all, Merry Christmas to you guys. Hope you had a great Christmas with your families.
Right back at you.
Miracle right now. The Bears win in the snow, bear weather, and, I mean, it was just such a great win to see because we had to travel. I mean, it can't. As Dan and OB, I mean, being former players, traveling on Christmas with your family in the morning, going all the way to the other side of the country, I mean, it was a great game for the Bears, great win. Amir Bird, Nick Foles were incredible. All the players with the resilience and dedication to play with such heart for this coaching staff is pretty incredible, too. But I just want to make the point that I don't want to overlook the bad that I saw. Like, I mean, the first drive of the game, we couldn't get the punt return team onto the field, so we had to burn a timeout. If we have the ball in the last seconds of the first half, that's a timeout we could have used. And then finally, it's the fourth down in the fourth quarter. It's like midway through the fourth quarter. We didn't have our best player, David Montgomery, on the field when it was like 4th and 10. And it was just really confusing as a fan. But overall, it was a great game. Thank you guys for taking my call. Hope you had a really Merry Christmas, and thanks for being the best show on the radio.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, Todd.
Merry, Merry, Happy Holidays.
Well, and Todd, you bring up a lot of reasons why we're going to get a new coaching staff. All those mistakes, all those situational problems that we faced today, on one hand, yeah, you know, a competent coaching staff would have not had those kind of problems. All that being said, you got to shake your head and say somehow, some way, they overcame them. They overcame it. And a lot of it, and you know what?
It's due to Nick Foles.
Yeah, well,
I have an answer for that. The reason why we won this damn football game was the play for four quarters of Nick Foles.
And you're exactly right. But there was a lot of help from a lot of young players that makes
aren't
it
they
exciting.
Paid to do that?
Of course. Of course.
Well, I just want to throw a little bit of a bat naggy question at you. All right? Let's just say for argument's sake, just for a second. Arguments like this, that this was Nagy's first year, all right? And they're 5-10, whatever they're going to finish, 7-10, whatever it's going to be, 5-12. Who? Let's say they split, so they're 6-whatever. Then the next 2 years, they do what they did. They go 8-8, they miss the playoffs, they go 8-8, they make the playoffs. And then his last year is actually his first year. 12-4 in the playoffs, supposed to beat the Eagles, and they lose. And he's sitting there. His record right now, by the way, is 33-32. How do you think people would look at him if you flipped year four with year one? Right? Because he set expectations up here, then they just went down, 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 down.
Well, there's a lot of things you got to look at. Okay, injuries, etc. You also, toughness of schedule. When we went 12-4 and lost in the playoffs, okay, 32nd easiest schedule. There's only 32 teams in the league, okay? And don't tell me that that doesn't play into it. That was huge.
I'm not saying that it didn't. I'm just talking about how the perception would be. If
of course, it'd be completely different.
I'm giving you my perception.
I mean, that's a stupid question. Of course, it's just the opposite. And the opposite is reality. And we deal in reality here at WGN.
Well said. Well said. I like to live in non-reality every now and then.
Okay, you're fired.
6:30, we'll get checking.
You'll see Mary 8 o'clock in the morning.
We're going to get you, callers. Hold on.
If year four was year one, everybody was to be saying, give this guy an extension. I'm not saying they should, but that's just how the talk would
Same
be.
Same thing with Foles as Thomas Graham. Where's he been all year?
6:30.
How smart are they?
We're here till 8. It's a party.
Mark, you're going down.
I'm aware, OB. Yeah. I'm well aware. I've seen the writing on the wall.
Field the rookie out of Virginia Tech. He gets the handoff. He's got a first down run. Clear pack. Touchdown, Bears. Herbert's second career touchdown.
Yeah, Khalil Herbert scooting in the end zone. OB, you loved that moment in time. You were happy that the Bears had not run the Wildcat and they had actually used a running back as a running back and not Darnell Mooney back there, I believe, was your reaction in real time.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. But guess what? Oh, my God. Don't get me started on it, will you?
Well, that was a nice moment.
Well, the first time we got in the red zone, we did go with the Wildcat. It blew up on us. Hey, you know, maybe they won the game despite Matt Nagy. Let's get to the callers.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. Be quick out there. We got a lot of people, so make your best point. Taxi driver Bob, what's up, brother? Go ahead, man.
Hey, Merry Christmas, boys.
Merry Christmas.
Big Saint Nick gave us a nice Christmas present this year.
He did.
But, you know, going back to this whole thing, Pace really, he definitely etched his position on that bus ticket, on the Greyhound bus out of town. When they picked up Dalton, I was thinking to myself, okay, well, what distinguishes Dalton better than Foles? And I didn't see anything. Either Foles and Dalton were the same, or Dalton was a little bit worse. And they spent all this money on him.
Yep.
So what?
Yep.
I don't get it with Pace. He doesn't seem to make any sense whatsoever. And he's got to go out of Chicago along with Nagy.
Thanks.
We got to be done with this guy. He just does not make the right decisions.
We got you, taxi driver. Appreciate you.
I'll tell you what, Bob, that was a hell of a call.
We're going to see We're going to see Mike Glennon next week. Not necessarily on the field, but he'll be standing on the sidelines.
He was
for the
playing
Giants.
Today. Yeah. He was out there. It wasn't pretty. No, I'm telling you, it's horrific. But think about Glennon. He signs Glennon to $20 million contract and then drafts Trubisky. And essentially plays Trubisky because Glennon's so bad.
$18.5 million was guaranteed for Glennon.
So why did we not see Foles until all other options were exhausted? Okay? Again, he moved up to get Fields, and then he went out in desperation thinking, you know, he signed Dalton before they moved up to get
right.
Justin Fields.
Right.
So now you got a $10 million journeyman quarterback that was horrible. He was, he was ranked 27th in the league in Dallas last year. And what are you going to do with him? Can't eat him. You got to play him.
And
know?
We had Foles here already intact.
Exactly. And then word comes down from up high that, you know, we don't need to see any more of Dalton. So, again, all of these idiotic plans were made by one person. Who is that person, OB?
Pace.
His initials are Ryan Pace.
Let's get to Mike Rockford on WGN. What's up, Mike?
Hello, boys. Listen, another guy stole my thunder. He's exactly what I was just going to say, was why are we having this guy on the bench and we have to go sign Dalton? You know, Pace, you guys, between the amount of draft picks, you know, people, the bodies out there that we've lost. Teams like the Packers, the Steelers, the Patriots, they build their rosters from the bottom up.
Exactly.
He gives away players when everybody is important, every piece of the puzzle, the team, the players, the capital, draft capital, guys. You know, and it's like I said, I don't understand it. But listen, if Nagy's on his way out, isn't it the most important thing that Pace has got to go to and Phillips? I mean, Phillips, you know, he probably won't go. But, my God, if they don't get rid of Pace along with Nagy, what good is he going to – are we going to trust Pace to hire another – I mean, come on.
Mike, you're – but thank, appreciate you, brother.
He's frustrated like all of us. But yeah. Think about this. The draft where we had to give up a 1 and a 2 and some other stuff to get Trubisky – was a non-factor today. Those number ones, poof, they weren't even a part of today. What about the other number one that we gave up next year to get Justin Fields? He didn't play today. So two number one picks, they were not a part of today's effort. And think about the two number ones we gave up to get Khalil Mack, and he's been out essentially the entire season.
This is what Mike is saying.
That's what I'm saying. All those number ones, all that capital, that most other teams, that's a third of your roster. Six of, 21 guys. I mean, that's almost a third.
Folks, there's no question how you build a football team. It has been, is now, and forever will be. You build it through the draft. Look at Bill Belichick at New England. That's how you win in the National Football League. Do you enhance your team by free agents? Let me tell you something. I've seen enough free agents that are supposedly superstars that you had to give up a ton to get, and they come in and they fall flat on their face. Pace does not get it. Nagy does not get it. Why do I say that? Just take a look at this team. Take a look at our record. Take a look at our passing game. Take a look at our third down conversion. It goes on and on, game after game after game. And you're going to come back next year with the draft and trust Pace to draft for the Chicago Bears and have Nagy as your head coach with the other 25 geniuses that are on his staff. You're looking at a catastrophe.
Yeah, they're not bringing Matt Nagy back, and Pace maybe with the organization, maybe not. I'm with you, OB. They should
you
get rid
don't
of,
know that this they make yep, some yep. goofy decisions around here.
I'd bet heavy on it. But here, I'd like to put a moratorium on both Pace and Nagy. The name that I would love to hear on the show, the rest of this show, and then 2 weeks left in the season, his name is George. You're the guy who was in charge of the operation.
Bingo.
You, George McCaskey, this is on you. You've looked around in the past. You fired Ernie Accorsi. You've been in football your entire life. It's your organization. You can't enough with putting it over here and over there. It is on you. Go out and find somebody who can actually run your football team,
Mark,
period.
You absolutely nailed it.
So, like,
bingo.
Right? I mean, George is the name. It's on you, dude. Enough with Ted Phillips, too. George McCaskey.
Right.
You're the guy. What are you going to do? You've been here 7 zillion times. Will you get it right on this one? You're obviously getting another swing at it because your name is George McCaskey. All right, Rick, welcome to WGN. Go ahead. Rick?
Hey, guys. How you doing,
John? Go ahead. Hi, Rick.
Good. I'm going to go from end to end here. We got people that are playing that you can't assess their talent. People making catches, doing plays, and they wouldn't be out there unless somebody was hurt or had COVID. That's the first point. And then the next point is I'm sitting on my couch just wanting to relax and listen to a good game, and I got Aqib Talib announcing. I mean, really? That's how far we've dropped?
Hey, he's a developing broadcaster, Rick. You're getting,
come on, guy.
It's Seahawks and Bears. You weren't getting Aikman. You weren't getting top of the mountain. You got the development in progress, Rick. You got to know where you are in life. All right.
I got that. But okay, so back to the assessment of the talent.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Bird catching the catch for the 2-point conversion. He's one handing it like taunting like guy.
Come on, Rick.
No,
Rick. Rick, it was a great catch. Come on, man. You got to give Damir Bird credit there. Am I missing something here? OB Ham, can you help me out here?
No, it was one hell of a catch. I mean,
it was a hell of a catch.
It was, Rick.
And you know what? They could have batted it out, and it could have been called for not having control, you know, the completion of the catch and all that. But again, what about that shocks you when you see Blackmon has another personal foul early in the game? And then again, Tabor hits a receiver 3 yards out of bounds for another personal foul. And, you know, you think that discipline and, you know, team integrity and all those things mean something? Evidently, not to Matt Nagy, because we see it on a weekly basis.
Where does that come? That comes from the coaches. And
of
Rick,
course it does.
Rick, I understand. You know what? It's Rick, and it's the frustration the last few years of the Bear fans, who, are, again, they're just absolutely the best. They just happen to be the best. And it's Mark, it's just their frustration with this whole damn thing.
I get it. It's been a long time since 1985. It's been a long time since they went to the Super Bowl with Lovey, if we want to go back to that era, when things were better than they are now. Hey, Mark, you want to talk about the red zone? Go ahead. You're on WGN.
All right. Hamp and OB, you guys are my all-man team. And I just want to comment about the evaluation of talent. We had guys sitting on a bench that wouldn't even know what they can do. And you look at our red zone. Oh, my God. I don't know. With the red zone, I mean, should we call it incandescent? Like, we can't change our diaper? I mean, it's ridiculous. I just want to throw a red flag.
All right, Mark, I think we should probably call the red zone here the way it's been the last few years, the no-go zone.
The afraid to go to the end zone zone.
Yeah.
And think about Foles. He put it up to Jimmy Graham, and he pulls it down, and then he puts it into the end zone for Bird. I mean, I hate to say it. Why haven't we seen that from Justin Fields? Obviously, they've got, you know, Nagy in his ear, you know, preaching check down and caution and all this idiotic, you know, retro type of offense. This, hey, OB said it a million times. It's a passing league. If you don't get with it, you're way behind the game.
Quick timeout here, 6:47. We'll take full phones here. We'll keep rolling through.
Hang in there, guys.
Kaz coming up at 7. The Bears won 25-24. Matt Nagy watches on at 7:20 WGN.
16th play of the drive.
You know, you look at the stats on David Montgomery, they're kind of deceiving. He was 21 carries for 45 yards. That doesn't seem right because it felt like he was all over the field. Now, he did have 7 catches for 61, fighting all day
out there. That's giant. That's huge.
Yeah.
Over 100 yards combined yards from scrimmage. You know, and OB and I, you know, the entire game saying, you know, Foles, Fields, this offense should have been built around the running game of David Montgomery and go with the play action. Is he, you know, the best back in football? Maybe not, but he's in the top 5.
He's damn close.
Yeah, and what's wrong with that? And build the damn offense around him. It's crazy.
And what Dan means by that is you go into play action, move the pocket, do all the things that we never did this year, last year, and the year before. It's incredible when the talent we have and you don't incorporate it into a total, have the ability to work it into a wide-open offense with the key being Montgomery because they have to key on him. The first key when that ball is snapped is you got to stop the run, then the pass. So with Montgomery running, my God, you come with the play action. Oh, and this kid catching the ball out of the backfield and the way he can run, and you get the whole team involved, and not one coach could figure this out. Not one.
Wasted the whole year.
Time now for...
Yes, they did.
Time now for Who Brought It Today. That's sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all. You want to give it to Foles? You want to give it to Montgomery? You want to flip it to the defense?
It's Nick Foles. Hey, this doesn't happen without, you know, the contributions of Nick Foles from third string to MVP.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, we're talking about, and no, you know what, and rightfully so. Guess what? He came into the game. Okay, why didn't Dalton come in the game and do what Foles did? Why didn't Justin Fields come into the game and do what Foles did? They didn't. This kid came in a dire straight situation up in Seattle. It's snowing and whatever, and he took command and looked like a pro and handled like a pro for 4 quarters. So kudos to Nick Foles.
Roger in Chicago. We're having a Nick Foles celebration here on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah, Ed and Dan, I want to take the red zone question just a little further. Do playbooks these days, if not the Bears, other teams, have literally chapters on offenses designed within the red zone?
Without a doubt.
That they know are going to work or should work.
Yes,
absolutely, Roger. Absolutely.
You know, that Denny's menu that you see Nagy with and other often, it's all because if you're in your minus, you know, 30, then you got to run these plays. And then when you get between the 30s, it's not. And then when you get inside the red zone. But you know what? All year long, it's almost like we go completely brain dead.
Yeah.
When we get across the opponent's 30. Last week we were in there 6 times, had 0 points to show today in the first half. Our first drive was a punt. Then we get down in the red zone. It's 4th and 5. They run a 2-yard out to Montgomery, and he's tackled for, you know, essentially, you know, 2-yard gain. It's 3 yards short. Terrible play. That play. If you put
that was
the book
a joke.
Together, OB, don't put that play in there, okay?
Yeah, you know, here, Roger, quickly here, what they do. When in certain situations in practice all week, once they get the game plan set, you go out there and you practice from your own 25, your own 42, whatever, and then you're in the enemy's territory. You're on their 45, you're on their 38, you're on their 36, whatever. Then you get into the red zone, and that is a whole nother practice. Basically from the 30, maybe the 25-yard line in, and that's when the teams really give the amount of time for the quarterback and everybody to work on the red zone because that is the key. You got to score in the red zone, okay? There's not a lot of 60-yard, 80-yard bombs, although they happen every week, but where it really happens in the red zone. And you really, when they really, and they practice the heck out of it, all week long.
The smart ones do, because think about this. When you're on the, you know, you're minus 20, the defense has got to defend 80 yards. When you get down into the other 20, everything's compressed. The window's smaller. Timing is crucial. We never respected the amount of time we needed to devote to it, and it shows.
Four times in the red zone today for the Bears. They scored twice, of course, the final one being the touchdown and the two-point conversion. The Rosen Auto Group, our friends and our sponsors of the Rosen Red Zone Report, and that was your Red Zone Report from our guy,
and
Scott.
They're great in the red zone.
Yeah, it's
Rosen.
The Rosen's
Rosen
huge.
Red. Yep.
Scott Levy's Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin and Kenosha.
Scott Levy.
Amazing in the red zone.
The guy's a dear friend, I tell you what. It's a hell of a job.
You have a lot of dear friends, OB, because you know why? You know why? Because you're quality Ed Obradovich, right? Right,
he's
Danny?
He's a hell of a guy.
He's our guy. All right.
All right, let's stop with the BS.
We love you, OB. We love you. Roger, thank you for the call. Joe, Dave, John, Tom, you're up next. Coming on back here. Kaz will be with us after the 7 o'clock news. If you're just joining us and you can't believe it, you're not alone. The Bears beat the Seahawks 25-24 in a thrilling victory that Nick Foles went 24 of 35 for 250 yards and a game winning drive with a touchdown pass, and Damir Bird with the 2-point conversion, Jimmy Graham catching the touchdown pass. Yes, OB.
How about that, folks? Nick Foles hasn't been on the field in 405 days.
405.
And he came out today up in Seattle and got us a victory. Damn it. How great is that performance?
720 WGN.
Be quiet outside of the touchdown catch. Wilson was looking his way, and now has to spin, and Wilson is brought down. Robert Quinn, who has just been a sack machine, leads the NFC second in the NFL with 16 sacks entering today, and he's nearing Chicago Bears' single-season record. It's a loss of 13.
17 sacks now for Robert Quinn. He's a half of a sack shy of Richard Dent's single-season record, which came in 1984. I think you were around for that one, Dan Hampton.
Yep, saw it. And what is amazing is, you know, we had a lot of leads, and teams were having to throw, and Quinn, we've been behind all year. It really is amazing what he's doing. Let's get Kaz in here.
Oh, yes, our friend Glenn Kozlowski on his show. Kazi, how about that Nick Foles, Glenn Kozlowski, buddy?
Well, it's awesome to see him succeed. It's awesome to see the Bears win. And honestly, that play that we heard coming into the from the break and from news was the play of the game, because they missed the field goal that ultimately allowed the Bears to go for two and win the game. So that was a big play, you know, knocking the Seahawks back 13 yards at that point. And then their kicker missed the field goal. So, really, nice play. But my question is, why has Foles been on the sideline for so long? Why is this Graham kid that has been, like, the best corner we've had now? He was on the practice squad where Nagy said, oh, every week he approached it like he was starting. Well, why wasn't he playing earlier? And then even a Grant Sr., right? Where was this guy all year? When you see him late in the year where he's just making plays and everything else. So that still goes back to what we've always said. I love the victory. I love the aggressiveness of Matt Nagy, and the defense stepped up and made plays. But ultimately, it's a little, you know, much too late, and really they missed out on a lot of quality players that we're now seeing that are getting no chance.
312-981-7200. Don't call right now, though, because the lines are full here. Kazi, we can take some calls with you,
yeah,
my brother.
Let's do it.
All right, Dave in Indiana, you've been waiting the longest, brother. You're up on 720 WGN.
I first want to say Merry Christmas to Mark, to OB, to Hampo, and Kaz. I love the movie Shaggy D.A., by the way. My question is, when I look at Nagy on the sideline, and he doesn't have the playbook covering his microphone, and then all of a sudden he does, is he really talking to somebody up in the booth, or is it what OB says? He's just up there in the camera. I'm trying to figure this guy out.
I'm trying to figure out what Shaggy D.A. is, the movie. I'm looking it up here, and
he's calling the plays right now. So
yeah, he is. There's no question about it.
So he's hiding his voice because he's afraid that somebody will read his lips and then somehow know what they're going to run. So
he should call the plays. Look, you know you're going to be out of here. Just put all your cards on the old.
Do you think he's out of here, guys? I mean, I'll tell you what. You look ahead here the next, you know, couple of weeks here. They're going to beat the Giants. You know, Minnesota, after the loss today, they've got a tough road ahead. Who knows? The Bears might reel off two more.
I'd say it's the chances are 0.0 that he's back myself.
But. I hope so. But I'm just saying, it weird things have happened in the past.
Let's get Tom in Libertyville. Welcome to WGN. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to make a quick comment about Homer refs. I thought the worst non-call of pass interference was in yesterday's Cleveland Green Bay game on Cleveland's final drive, and it was so ridiculous that we didn't call that pass interference. But today we had back-to-back in the next to the last drive of the Bears, and they want to take a picture and give it to the refs at the ref school this winter about what pass interference looks like. And I think the one against Mooney, they actually grabbed his face mask, and they didn't call it either. I don't know what's going on.
And you're talking about the next to last drive, Kaz. That's where Mooney was in contact with the corner. And you know what? I've noticed this, Kaz. The last 5 minutes of the game, they're going to let him play. It's almost like the NBA. You know, okay, get out of the way and let him decide it.
Well, they don't want to make it them, you know, making the call. But when it's blatant, you've got to make the call. But, I see holding. We see all kinds of stuff going on. The referees are almost afraid at times to make calls, and I don't know why, but it's only getting worse across the board.
So. Listen, I mean...
Well, it's so hit and miss. Sometimes it looks like the officials want to be the main attraction. They want to be
exactly.
On the camera every play, throwing something in, and you could call an infraction almost every single play. But at some point, I think they do back off, let the guys play.
I'm all for every single fan walking in with a sign saying, I came to watch the players play, not to watch you ref. Like, listen, if you have to call it, if it's deserves to be called, call it. But the hit on Nick Foles where they called roughing
the passer.
Justin Fields not getting that call all year long. It's been completely inconsistent.
Inconsistent is a good way to put it.
Let's go to, hey, Mark in Chicago, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, I really enjoy the program, and I just wanted to make a quick comment about, Ed talking in the past about the Bears actually scoring in the third quarter, and if that gave them the momentum then to get through
they
the
got seven
the game and pull it out.
They did.
I know.
Shocking. It was awesome.
But, because usually they come out of halftime and no points in the third quarter, and we're definitely in the catch-up in the fourth quarter then.
But you know what? I got to tell you, in my mind, everybody, is coached, but then there's certain places and times in a game where you just have to make a play or you want to make a play. I'm telling you, I think Nick Foles has the pelts on the wall where I think he was operating outside of some of the play calls, some of the designed reads.
I agree, Danny.
Yes. And I think that's why we got a touchdown in the third quarter. And by the way, I'm holding in my hand right here the third quarter scoring stats. The LA Rams lead the NFL with 7.6 in the third quarter. We are 29th at 2.9 points per third quarter this season. Not very good.
But give them credit. They got in today. It's not just this year, by the way. We've underlined this on basically every show. They've been doing it for last year was an absolute
Nagy's
debacle.
Been the head coach. It's been bad like this, Mark. And here's the other thing to point out as well. This was a perfect game. The weather, everything set up well for the Bears today. And snow in Seattle like that. It's kind of really it's rare, but it did happen. And with Montgomery running the ball like he did, I felt good about how the things were going for the Bears because it was a good setup for them.
312-981-7200. Let's get Antonio in here on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Antonio.
First of all, I want to say congratulations to the Bears on their win. I wanted to know, Nick Foles played terrific today. Absolutely terrific. But why, if he's sitting on the sidelines, especially as a third-string quarterback, and you have this Justin Steele kid as your starter, why isn't this Foles guy starter? You know, he's the best quarterback they had in so long, and he hasn't played, what, one game today, and he's already got his first win?
Antonio, let me ask you something. I'm going to get in trouble here. But did you watch Nick Foles play football for the Bears last season? It wasn't pretty.
It wasn't good.
I mean, come on.
Well, here's what Nick Foles does really well, guys. And Foles is one of those guys where you bring him off the bench in the middle of the season, he's going to go lights out. And he is spectacular if you track his career. In the fourth quarter, he just finds ways to win. And literally, that last play when they went for two, number one, I was proud of Matt Nagy for lining up and not taking a timeout or letting the defense get ready. The play wasn't a good play, but guess what? Our quarterback threw it high, receiver went up and made a tremendous play and got his leg and knee down. So it was two great efforts, like Dan said. It wasn't necessarily the scheme. It was just a great effort.
And Antonio, I have a different take on this. All you have to do is look at the offensive line from year to year, quarter to quarter, game to game. And that'll tell you that comes in big time with the quality of the quarterback's play. Hear what I just said? The quality of the quarterback's play are the five guys up front. You take these five guys that we have here and stick them in Green Bay or stick them in Tampa Bay. What the hell do you think would happen to Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady? So that comes into play big time. And I know what I'm talking about.
You're right, Ed. 100%. And so Nick isn't very good because he's not a great scrambler. If you can't keep him upright, he's in trouble. But he really does have a knack, right, Dan? I mean, we all
agree. He's got accuracy, Glenn. He's got accuracy.
He figures out how to win, right?
Well, I remember last year in Atlanta when they put him in and he made that series of plays that enabled us to beat the Falcons. And you know what? It's almost like from that point on, Matt Nagy said, okay, I'm going to make this new game plan. And it almost took Foles out of his element and almost, you know, put him in a position where he started having a lot of situations that he failed. And then the whole thing caved in on him.
He was phenomenal against the Falcons. And God, thinking about back to last year when Trubisky's out there, we're all screaming for him to be gone. And Nick Foles comes
in. Nick Foles is the best quarterback we have on his team right now. Period.
Yep, 100%.
Period.
A quick timeout. Joe and Berwin and you coming back. You're next. 312-981-7200. Kaiser's with us till 8 o'clock. That's when the show will end tonight. The Bears won their fifth win on the season. We got two games to go. Merry Christmas, everybody, on 720 WGN.
You know, when you get into any sport, any profession, you look at it and you say, you know, we all have to have a little dignity and pride into what we do. It's not easy when you lose. I mean, trust me, I've been on a lot of football teams in my life, and there's not many that I've been on where you have a losing record. So, you know, even for me, learning how to be on a team that has a losing record isn't easy.
Oh, look at that. Throw down the gauntlet.
Did you listen to that?
He's been on tons of football teams and very, very rarely on ones with losing records. Kaz, listen to this guy. Bring him back.
He is such... what is he talking about? I mean, let's track his history as a high school and college player, and I'm pretty sure he wasn't on a lot of winning teams.
But he's been on a ton.
Listen,
the last time I checked, a ton is 2,000.
Most wins in their first 4 years as a Bears head coach, George Halas, 37. Then it's Mike Ditka and Lovie Smith with 33. And then this guy, Matt Nagy, 32. And he's got a chance to get to 34 if he could beat the Giants and the Vikings.
And he says, thank God for Detroit every night when he puts his head on the pillow.
I'm just y'all gonna miss Nagy when he's gone. Actually, nobody.
Not,
really,
yeah. We're gonna be missing you in about 2 minutes,
Ernie. I'm sorry, Ernie. Hang in there, Joe and Berwin. You've been waiting for over half an hour. Welcome, Joe. We'll get to Ernie in a second. What's up, brother? As I get threatened.
Hey, good evening, guys. This question is for OB, Kaz, and Hamp. I agree with you guys, synopsis on Fields. I think the reason why he dropped is because I think Fields is a slasher, and most people in the NFL, you have to be a pocket passer. And since he's got all this time that he's played, he's decreased because of maybe the speed in the NFL, and the coaches threw him into the like the Sharks. And The other questions I got for both Pamp, Kaz, and it's in reference to which defensive players are the Bears going to keep? Hicks, Mack, Trayvon, and then also if they had a choice as far as coach and GM, who would they bring in?
All right, you know, Joe.
Listen.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
All right, I'll get started. Greg Roman, and the answer is two of your questions. Justin Fields has a skill set very similar to Lamar Jackson, okay? Now, to me, I would find the guy that made Lamar Jackson into a force in the NFL. And you can say what you want. You like it, you don't like it, whatever it is. That's what Justin Fields needs to emulate. Now, all that being said, the offensive coordinator is a guy named Greg Roman. Greg Roman was in San Francisco under Jim Harbaugh with Kaepernick. And remember that offense with all the traps and the leads and the counter trays and the loads. I mean, with our running backs, I mean, I think Greg Roman would be hands down the guy you want, OB.
Well, for me to jump into the fray here, I'm going to think outside the box a little bit. I'm going to go with Jeff Brohm, the head coach at Purdue, and P.J. Fleck, the head coach at Minnesota. Let them come in here. Let them pick their staffs and whatever they want to do. And let's get a fresh, new, vibrant look for the Chicago Bears. It's been too long, too long. All we are is a stalemate team from year to year. Let's get somebody again like Brohm or Fleck in here. Let's get some life into the Chicago Bears. And let's get some new thoughts and think outside the box. That's what I think.
Yeah, I just, my hesitation, Ed, always is college football coaches rarely have success when they come and they transfer in as a head coach. They almost need to get seasoned a couple of years as coordinators. But listen,
I agree
with the idea of starting fresh. What I'd like to see is, you know what, we threw this around a while ago, Trace Armstrong just in charge of football operations and overseeing who is hired. And then we could go from there, and, you know, there's a lot of choices out there. You have the college choices. I like what he does up, Fleck up in Minnesota, his energy. I just don't know how well that would translate with guys that are a little older than him. And are paid a heck of a lot more money than him.
Well, Glenn,
it won't hurt. It can't hurt compared to what we've been seeing.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. It hasn't been too great the other way either. Look at how many coaches we've had. Green Bay's had two quarterbacks for, what, 20-some years, and we've had, what, close to 30 quarterbacks that can't hit a
water out of a boat?
But that's really on our GM, really, Ed. I mean, we fail so miserably there that we don't identify quality players that have that longevity. And we just keep reaching and moving up, trying to take, you know, stabs in the dark instead of actually having a plan.
That's why I want to think outside the box.
You win up front. Let's don't kid ourselves. At every level of football, if you have a strong offensive line and a strong defensive line, you have a great chance to win a Super Bowl.
Great words. Those are great words.
7:30, let's get checking news. Your Josh Johnson, by the way, who no one's ever heard of, won 28-40 for the Ravens today, being coached by Greg Roman. Tyler Huntley looks like a viable quarterback.
One week of preparation.
So what's going on? I mean, Baltimore lost today, but what they've...
Well, the most important thing is callers hang in there. If we can get you off the phone, Mark.
Sue, Kevin, Ernie, yes, 312-981-7200. Half hour to go, Hamp and OB, and Kaz, and even yours truly, Carm. Bears won 25-24, beat the Seahawks on 720 WGN.
You know, in those Saturday night meetings that we have, sometimes I have something prepared, and sometimes I don't. And I just kind of speak from my heart. And last night was one of those. As we got going, we had some guys talking. After the game last week, my freshman son and I were driving home, and we just talked about, you know, the story that he's learned about no regrets and emptying your cup. And without dragging it out, it was a pretty cool story that he right now is doing as a young athlete.
Now he's bringing his kid into this?
I like it. We're getting like... I'd rather hear that than him trying to mealy-mouth what's going on with the team. Like, give me the final comments of Nagy on your way out the door.
I'm driving home with my freshman kid.
Yeah, it's a nice one, father-son moment, no?
Well, let's see how our Carlos, like, father knows best.
Kazi, I didn't have you up. What were you saying?
What? I, well, I said it's a wonderful story between he and his son, but it has nothing to do with winning football games in the NFL. And that's the point of it. He's just wasting our time by sharing that because, look, when you're 5-10 and you beat a team that was 5-9, I mean, I'm thrilled that we won, but this wasn't like we were playing the Titans or, listen, the Indianapolis Colts, for that matter. Nobody wants to play them, even though they're, you know, they're sitting at the 6th seed or 7th seed or whatever they might be, or 5th seed in the AFC. How about Carson Wentz? How did he get rejuvenated? Well, they have this really great head coach in Indianapolis that was the guy that made him successful in Philadelphia. And look at what Wentz is doing this year for the Colts. So it can be done with the right head coach, and that's the point, right? I mean, he's just not the right guy. He's, from what I understand, he's a wonderful guy, but he's, and he, you know, I hate that he has four sons, and they have to go through what he's taken, the verbal abuse that he's taken all year. But that's a part of the job. Having raised four sons myself, you know, you don't like seeing that. But that's not even a part of the story here, and I don't know why he felt compelled to share it.
Christmas night.
He's being you.
They flew cross country. They had a night. They had a little meeting. He was speaking from the heart, and he had other. I would love to know where he actually stands in that locker room. Like, what is, if you, let's have an anonymous poll on Nagy. It would be interesting to hear.
Go to the callers,
Ernie and Morton Grove, OB on 720 WJ.
I want to thank you guys. You're more entertaining than the football game itself. But.
Thank you, sir.
Have a question. If all three quarterbacks are healthy next week, who do you start?
Foles. That's an easy one. Foles.
You go with the hot hand right now, and he won. And here's the other part to point out. The last couple of weeks, is, you know, we've been talking about no coach talks to Fields when he comes off, right? The only one talking to him was Nick Foles. The last couple of weeks, he sat there with Fields, and he was going with the surface that they have and going through things. So it's almost fitting that this guy goes out in his first start and wins. You know, yeah,
okay.
You go with him.
I'm going to be beg to differ. I think Justin Fields starts when he's healthy, and I'll tell you this. He learned a lot tonight because he saw how, as OB likes to say, Foles performed outside the box. He saw the plays that were brought in, and instead of the checkdowns, he was going downfield. He was making positive things happen despite Nagy's play calls.
Yeah, for me, it's a you play the rookie. Nick Foles is not your future. Yeah.
It's about next year.
For Nagy, though, he's going to go with trying to reel off two victories and hope that that's enough. Let's just call it what it is. He's going to do all he can to win the last two games.
Right. Thanks for the call. For Nagy, though, he needs to show that he can develop a young quarterback to someone. He ain't going to be here that he's going to get another opportunity. But
how many years did he have with Trubisky?
Right. It's the hole in his resume.
How many times are you going to run into a brick wall?
Well, you might as well run into it two more times.
Comments for him is exactly right. He's worried about his resume going forward. Who's going to hire him? He wants to have some wins.
We got a former ref.
He wants wins. Period.
Fields has got some bad habits already. Now, if you're going to play him and he's got a bad ankle, it's just going to worsen. It's just going to worsen the situation. So if he's not healthy, do not play the kid.
I'll bet you
$5 it's Justin Fields.
I agree with you. If he's hurt, then he shouldn't play.
I think Nagy's going to override it. He's trying to win, guys. That's all. He's at the point of no return, and he's going to do all he can to win.
Kevin's a former referee calling WGN. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, gang. Happy holidays to the best radio crew that I know of in Chicago.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Kev.
Yeah, you guys, like the previous caller, I look forward to you guys more so than the game itself. So, 23 years as a U.S. Certified official. Going back to a couple of statements or callers before, when I'm the head referee, what I do is I bring the team together and I tell them that you know the rules of the game, you know the laws of the game, and from the beginning to the end, no matter what the score is, how close it is, how tight it is, you do your job, and we are a team. If you have any question about anything that you saw or didn't see, then what, call us together.
Kevin, what do you want us to know? Are you defending the refs? Are you against the refs?
No, he's saying that that's what they should. They should be making calls no matter what's happening at the end of the game. If it happens, they should throw the flag. Right, Kevin? That's what you're saying.
Absolutely. If it happens, or they should throw the flag, and then they should, they have so many officials out there, they should be able to get together as a team and decide, the person that threw the flag, this is what I think I saw, or you don't throw the flag if you think you saw something. If you didn't see it, it didn't happen.
There you go.
Okay. All right, Kevin. Right. Appreciate it.
100%. He's correct. But
those were good words, Kevin.
Anymore. Doesn't happen, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the integrity of Kevin. I also, listen, we all came to see the players play. Let's make games longer. Let's not call things that don't need to be called. Let's move things along, too. Sue in Vermont, welcome to WGN.
Merry Christmas, gentlemen.
Merry Christmas to you, Sue.
I am born and bred Chicago. My family, we're all fanatics. I've got a shrine to the 85 Bears in my house. I've been living out here in New England for 25 years. I come in twice a season to go to a game with my brothers, my siblings, my friends. I got to tell you, at this point, after all this time, I feel so disrespected by the McCaskey family as a Chicago Bears fan. These coaches, the bad choices in drafting. We're normal people. You know, you add up the ticket prices and the parking and you buy a couple of beers and we're out there in the rain and the gale force winds or the snow, whatever. I'm like, George McCaskey, these are the best fans in the world. And we feel so disrespected at this point. Last game I was at was the Cardinals. We're up in the 400 section in the rain. And I said to my brother, I'm like, why are we playing the new kid? Why are we letting him get all beat up? Save him for next year when we've got a new coaching staff. Nick Foles is on the bench making a lot of money. And they put him in tonight, and look what happens.
Sue, you're a hero, Sue. Love you in the rain at Soldier Field.
But that's the call of the night. You're correct, Sue. The Bear fans are the greatest fans in the world, and you deserve better. And Ed has been preaching this for, you know, as long as I've known Ed. He's been saying this on radio. Right, Ed?
Absolutely. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You people are the best, period.
Sue in the rain against the Cardinals, turning to her brother, why is Justin Fields out there getting killed? Sue speaking for a lot of Bears fans. Listen, the other part of it, though, ticket prices and all that, I'm with you 1,000%. But the Bears, they're trying. They just don't know what to do. They literally are incompetent. It's not that they don't want to please the fans. They just don't know how to, right?
Mark, they hire incompetent general managers, and it's a disaster from there. And that has been the issue for, you know, since 88. Probably.
And since, well, I tell you, I go back, they've had a couple of good ones. One of them is Jerry Vannese. As a matter of fact, Glenn, next time we go, I like to send you a thing, pretty much what Jerry's thoughts were on the Bears. But I'll tell you what, this situation is with the Bears, it's deplorable. Guys, we're going nowhere. If they don't make changes, and Pace has to go. He has to go.
Okay,
you cannot give away draft choices, number ones, twos, year after year after year on blunders and stupid trades.
Okay.
By the way, we're going to see Glennon next week for the Giants. That was his original horrific mistake, right? Dan, you were there with the guy when they paid him a ton of money and then they drafted Trubisky. So.
They move up and get Trubisky. It was a farce. By the way, the McCaskies fundamentally disrespecting the fans because they are not doing the proper things. Right as we speak, we're getting another dose of it. Nagy should have been terminated immediately after the game so they are qualified to be able to start the interview process with whoever they got on their list.
Wait a minute, Dan. Let me jump in here. Dan is talking about the new rules in the NFL at 6. Correct me when I'm wrong here, Danny. Tonight at 6:15, which has obviously gone past, but at 6:15, the new rules are now with 2 weeks to go, you can fire and make changes with your coach.
Exactly. After the 15th game, now you are eligible to start bringing in candidates and not wait 2 more weeks when most of those guys will be in playoff preparations and they don't want to come in. You could do it now
or
do Zoom and all this. All I'm saying is there's a process. And if you do not engage in the process, you are failing the franchise. That's simple.
Courage to move forward.
Dan, I will ask you one more thing, though, on that, because I was under the assumption that all they had to do was notify the head coach that he wasn't returning, and then
that's
they could
true.
Go ahead and start interviewing. So they don't have to publicly announce it. They just have to let the head coach know he will no longer be coaching for that organization.
Technically, because that is accurate. They could tell him, hey, you're going to coach the last 2 games, but you're out. They could do it that way. It'd
right.
be really
and then,
awkward.
You know, it kind of keeps it under wraps, and you get a chance to interview who you want.
Well, I'd rather do it my way.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah. I think Bear fans would gladly help you do it your way, Ed.
Slow boat to China, the OB way.
There you go.
Well, they'd all be there helping him pack up. That's all.
That's it.
All right, Kazi, stick right there. One more segment. Tommy, Roosevelt, you.
We'll get to you.
Bears beat the Seahawks 25-24. We've got 2 games to go in the, call it the 2021 season. They're 5-10 at 720 WGN.
In zone. And this time is caught by guess who? Jimmy Graham, the former Seahawk, with the touchdown grab with just a minute to play.
We can make that catch our BBB Trusted Review brought to you by the Better Business Bureau. Find a business you can trust at BBB.org. He used his body well there doing what Jimmy Graham does, Dan Hampton.
He's made a nice living basically on the goal line doing exactly that. And, you know, that was a great catch. The bird catch, in my mind, that was more critical and a better catch.
Yeah,
that was spectacular to get his leg, his 1 foot down, and his knee before he went out of bounds, and then had the presence of mind to one-hand the ball away so they couldn't hit it out of his hands either. I mean, Bird, that was incredible. The question I'd ask, if I'm Seattle, anytime Graham's in there, they try and take that shot at least once. To me, it was like a no-brainer. He was one-on-one on the outside. That safety should have been there to help, but he wasn't.
And good read. I mean, Bird, if you go back, I think he popped open early. I thought Foles missed him. But
he was open right away.
Yep.
I mean, he got to the back of the end zone, and they were still not in good positions to cover him.
Tommy in Chicago, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Yeah, talking about the two-point conversion, did you guys actually see a knee come down in bounds?
Yes.
He did, yep. It was a great play.
Because Fox didn't do a very good job of covering it afterwards. I don't know if they had, you know, there was no replay. There was no review.
There was a replay, and they showed it quickly. But what happened is, you know, the Seahawks could have really pushed him out of bounds, but they weren't able to just because they were out of position. And that's why, you know, what Mark brought up, you know, he should have thrown it earlier, but the kid got his foot down and his knee down, and then he extended his arm away. So it was a spectacular play by a guy.
Roosevelt, you're our last caller tonight, my friend. Get in there.
How you doing, guys? Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Hey, I want to talk about the games that the Bears lost in the last minute. The last drive, our quarterbacks got them to the lead. We were in the lead. So who do you attribute the fault? Is that coaching, the fact that the guys were injured, or lost assignments? Because let's face it, we could have been sitting on a 7-8 or 8-7 if it wasn't for our defense at the last minute or two. I distinctly remember two of them. I believe it was Baltimore and who was the other one? Pittsburgh. We lost it, and I believe there was another one, but I don't remember the third one, guys. I want to see what you guys think about that. I'll hang up and listen to you.
The Bears, who are they thought we were, Roosevelt, in my mind, but anybody want to make it a case?
Well, and I made the statement off the top of the show that the best performances of the defense the last year and a half have been the last 2 weeks when there's virtually nothing to play for. Akeem Hicks was the generator last week that really got everybody going. But these kids, they got after it today. And think about this. We talked in the pregame that Russell Wilson was being a you know a prospective, you know, free agent acquisition, and Ryan Pace was thinking about giving up three number ones for him. Hey, our defense made him look very, very average, pedestrian, and he had no answers. I think he had 156 yards or something. It was nothing.
Hey, Roosevelt, you know what this all falls on, getting teams ready? The coaches.
Yep.
Okay? There, the last, like Dan's saying, the last two games, the defense showed up and whatever. Okay, where were they the prior week, the prior week, the prior week before that? Where's the offense have been? Why haven't we? We know what the problem is, converting on third down. Why haven't we changed our modus operandi on third down situations? Why don't we be different? Who is that all about? It's about coaching, and that's the damn problem with this team. And that's why Nagy and this entire staff has to go. They have never put this team. What? All 53 of these kids are the worst 53 kids on a football team? I don't think so. But I'll tell you what, who I think are lousy. We have lousy coaches, and I think we do have lousy coaches. Just look at it game after game, week after week. It's sickening. Get rid of Pace and get rid of Nagy and his 25 assistants. Get him the hell out of this town.
We got 30 seconds to go here. Obi and I are going to continue the show on the sidewalk if you want to come down to 303 Swacker.
Hey, here's what I'll say, Mark. The best example of coaching is when our 320-pound interior lineman dropped into coverage against the Green Bay Packers and just missed the interception.
That was Nichols.
Hey,
yeah, think about it.
Obi's last round, we're going to make that our game-changing moment, brought to you by the Mueller family. The Mueller game-changing moment, sponsored by the great Mueller family of dealerships in Hoffman Estates.
By the way, Mike Mueller, I talked to him for about 40 minutes the other day, and he said it's a little to everybody.
Love you, Mike Mueller.
Yes, sir.
Hoffman Estates, Gurney, Highland Park, in Merrillville. And, hey, Hamp, your guy wants you to say goodbye to him tonight. He's going to maybe perhaps tuck him in. He's back. He's our longtime sponsor. He's our friend. He's our nationwide agent. He's Jeff Vukovich.
Vuk!
For all your auto home business needs, contact Vuk at jeffvuk.com. And remember, OB, go ahead for it, buddy.
Nationwide
is on our side.
It
was perfect. Kazi, we'll see you next week, brother.
You got it, guys.
Take care, Glenn.
Everybody, thanks for listening.
Happy New Year.
Thanks for calling. Happy New Year.
Healthy New Year.
11 o'clock pre next week, 3 o'clock post. San Martino, great job producing. Connor McKnight, thank you for your help. 720 WGN.